Hey guys, welcome to a quick hits version immediately following SummerSlam here. Just so you know, I will have a full review of SummerSlam coming tomorrow, and that'll be a complete review with the Botch guy happening tomorrow evening. But for now, I just wanted to jump on here, and I was going to be posting throughout the show. I started the show a little bit late, and so since I started late, all the posts I put up on Instagram, I said to myself, I'll just do a quick hits. I didn't want to be behind. And so now that I've finished SummerSlam, I have mixed thoughts. I will say Roman Reigns returning, I didn't see coming. So I had a feeling that the you'll never see it coming was a bigger overarching thing that was going to happen. I figured it was Brock Lesnar. Retribution was a non-factor. So Roman Reigns returning, I didn't see coming. So yeah, they got me on that. I wasn't even thinking about Roman Reigns until obviously it happened. And now let me just ask a question to you guys. Did he get his teeth done? Like, does he have all new teeth? Or did he whiten his teeth? Something ain't right with his teeth. I don't know what it is. And maybe it was just, maybe it's me. Maybe I just haven't seen him in a while. I didn't really ever pay attention to his teeth, but they're just bright, white, and perfectly straight. So maybe he got them done. I don't know. But I did notice that. He also looks bigger. He cut his hair a little bit. He looks revitalized. It's good to see him. I'm still not a Roman Reigns fan, but him attacking The Fiend and attacking Braun Strowman actually made sense. When he attacked Braun Strowman, actually, Braun Strowman, attacking Strowman actually makes a little more sense, considering that Braun Strowman just stepped in for Roman Reigns and faced Goldberg for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. So I think that's what they're going to pull from, and that's going to be the reason why Braun Strowman was attacked by Roman Reigns. That, to me, is going to be the reason. And I knew that, or I suspected, I predicted that when Roman Reigns does return, he probably will jump right into a program with Bray Wyatt. And that makes total sense. And having Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns is a program you can string out for many months as well. Now, what's going to be very interesting is, does Braun Strowman align himself with Bray Wyatt? I think the answer is yes. Having these two back on the same page, now they have a common enemy in Roman Reigns. Braun Strowman has found the monster in himself. Maybe that was not a faux heel turn, and it was a true heel turn. Now he has a reason to stay heel and face Roman Reigns. I think that's how it's going to go. Roman Reigns will eventually need an ally against these two, but this could be an interesting story where people are like, oh my God, what, you know, how is anyone going to stop The Fiend? Now, how is anyone going to stop The Fiend with Braun Strowman at his side? So I'm very interested to see how that plays out. I'm done with seeing Braun Strowman versus The Fiend. That match, honestly, and again, I'll have a full review, but it was, I don't know. It was exactly what I thought it would be. And it was okay. You know, Braun Strowman bringing in the box cutter it made me think. I'm like, what is he going to do with that? And then ends up tearing up the ring and gets, you know, three Sister Abigails or whatever it was on the wood and gets pinned. So, yeah, we got the no selling from The Fiend, as we always do. We got the laughing that we've been getting from Bray Wyatt since he was the Swamp cult leader, and you know, from 2014, 2015, we've been hearing that cackle forever that Michael Cole pointed out as if it was something new. But it was a weird match. It was a weird match because it just never seemed to flow. And I don't know. But the real story here, the number one story I think most people will take away from this entire pay-per-view is Roman Reigns is back. He's back with new teeth, he's back with new hair, he's back with more muscle, and what did his t-shirt say? That he comes in and like basically kicks ass and leaves. I think Stone Cold had a shirt like that. I'm pretty sure Austin had one, like Ben there destroyed that, or no. It was like, I forget. Austin had something similar to that. Arrive, kick ass, leave, or something like that. But hey, Roman's back. Roman is back. And so the other story coming out of this was the semi-main here with Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, which I thought was a very good match. I thought this match was exceedingly better than the main event was, and as you'd expect it to be, with two pros in there. And I'm a little hesitant to say I'm disappointed with the match, match ending, the finish, because it's almost a finish that you can't really screw up the finish, because I think that having either man win would have been a good decision. So anytime you have that problem as a writer, you can't go wrong, because either selection I think would have been a good selection. That doesn't mean that there's not a more correct answer. There's a good answer, and then there's a great answer. And to me, the great answer would have been Randy Orton winning. I'm a bit disappointed that Randy Orton didn't win, because I think that Randy Orton as a heel is hotter than Drew McIntyre is as a babyface. So when you look at what Randy Orton has done, I think it supersedes the intensity of what Drew McIntyre has done. And that's no discredit to Drew, but Randy Orton is on fire. And for him to lose tonight, I think the only saving grace is that he lost via a backslide. And it wasn't a Claymore kick definitive victory. And I actually kind of liked how neither man was able to hit their finish. I don't even know the last time that I watched, especially in a big pay-per-view, a match of any kind for anything where the competitors didn't hit their finish on the other. It was I did not see coming, where they didn't hit any finishes. They tried, each man tried multiple times to try to hit their finish. Neither could. And Randy Orton loses via the backslide. Again, downsides to that are Randy Orton should not lose until Edge comes back. But you don't get the satisfaction of Randy Orton getting his head kicked off multiple times, as I want to see, having him flat on his back and losing clean to Drew McIntyre. So there's that. You're satisfied if you're a Drew fan that he's retained, but you're not satisfied that the heat that Randy Orton's been building has been blown off, and you feel Randy Orton's got what's coming to him. And by the way, what he's got coming to him is not a single finisher and a loss. It is a complete beatdown to the point of putting him in the hospital. Of course, I mean that in kayfabe land. I don't mean that in real life, but that's what Randy Orton is deserving of. Literally being hospitalized. That is what, to me, how much heat they've built on him, that is justice. Not a, oh, well, he's going to get a Claymore, you know, as anybody would if Drew was facing anybody. Randy Orton deserves something special. So I was a bit disappointed in that Drew won. I love Drew as champion, which is weird to say, but I would love Randy Orton, I think, more as champion. It's a weird pull on my brain that I'm having right now. The one thing is, if you're excited to maybe see Randy as champion, well, don't worry, folks. In a week, we have another pay-per-view. So we have another pay-per-view in a week. So no fear. Next Sunday, Randy Orton could indeed become WWE champion. So yeah, I don't think we've ever had this quick of a turnaround. I would suspect every match you saw tonight would be every match you see next Sunday at Payback, minus the fact that Asuka is the new Raw Women's Champion. You're going to see the team of Bayley and Sasha defend their women's tag team titles, which tells you that that's the next belt that they're losing, and they are fast-tracking this thing. I really thought that they would wait and build it more and more and more. This is the start of the end, the beginning of the end for Bayley and Sasha, which I'm also kind of conflicted on that. I think that there was more juice to squeeze out of that. But maybe they said, hey, this is the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. We need to start something. And we don't know when we're going to be back in front of fans. So we can't string it out that long because it could be, you know, another year. I mean, you don't know. So I think I understand their, hey, let's just pull the trigger instead of stringing this thing out. I get it. And I'm not faulting WWE for it. And the way that they did it, though, was kind of weird. Because they framed it in the beginning of the match, or the beginning of the pay-per-view, with Bayley versus Asuka, as Sasha taking the bullet for Bayley. Well, did she really? And if she... Now, I'm trying to explain this. I'm going to try to, with my very tired mind here, try to explain why this makes no sense, the way that they framed this. And I know what the announcers are pushing, that Bayley wouldn't take the bullet for Sasha, but Sasha would take the bullet for Bayley. And there's your dissension. But here's how it happened. You had Asuka go after, in the first match, go after Bayley with a hip attack. Basically, it's a rear view that Naomi does, but they call it a hip attack. And having Asuka go after Bayley, she's against the ropes. Bayley moves, and Sasha, who's on the apron, takes the hit, which then somehow doesn't bounce Asuka away. It somehow further entangles her in the ropes, allowing Bayley to get the dreaded roll up. Now, in the second match that Asuka had, Bayley moved aside, which you would, because she didn't really take the bullet. Taking the bullet would be standing in front of the person you're trying to protect, not behind them. And had Bayley had Bayley stood there, why would Asuka have to, or why would Asuka be tangled up in the ropes more? If she moved away, wouldn't you think that would actually tangle her up more because her momentum then went through thin air and hit nothing and got her body in the ropes tangled up? I don't know how to describe this any better, and I apologize for my words, but the way that they did this made no sense. To simplify it, taking a bullet for somebody is going in front of them, not behind. So I know they're trying to frame this that Bayley wouldn't take a bullet for Sasha, but Sasha would for Bayley. No, that's just self-preservation. Why would you purposefully let someone hit you when it's not going to really benefit your opponent or your ally? Makes no sense. That makes no sense. I understand the premise and I understand the psychology of what they're trying to say, but I don't get it. The execution made no sense. That'd be like saying to you, whoever's listening right now, so I'm going to take the bullet for you. And instead of taking the bullet for you, I stand behind you. That would be my definition of taking the bullet for you. You would say to me, yeah, that doesn't make sense. That's me taking the bullet for you. It just is so silly. It absolutely was ass backwards. Have no fear. I think there were three roll-ups tonight, including the backslide. I consider that a roll-up. I consider any kind of schoolboy or R-Truth 24/7 title special type of roll-up. They all count in the realm of bad finish roll-ups that happened. It's just such a cheap escape. And I get Randy Orton's backslide. I get it. It actually makes me want to see them fight again to see somebody finally hit a finish on the other. And I want to see Randy as champion, so I understand that. But Bayley's made no sense. Why is WWE so afraid for conclusive victories? Why is WWE so adverse to definitive victories? Why does everything have to be, oh, they got lucky, oh, backslide, and they kick each other in the head, and you end up with a backslide or a roll-up? We saw it happen tonight three times, I think it was. Come on, I was rolling my damn eyes at that. Not having Bayley win, because I thought she should win, because the SmackDown title has the most value out of all three of those belts that they have. But the fact that it's a roll-up again, good God. It was a weird pay-per-view. Again, Retribution was a non-factor, didn't even show, which was weird. They spent some time on them and then just didn't have them interfere at all, which I'm fine with. I don't need them there unless they have a big angle that they're going to start. So I don't know. This pay-per-view is weird. I don't know what to even grade it, maybe because I'm very tired right now, but I'm also just kind of perplexed as to what to even think of this pay-per-view. Nonetheless, too, that the Thunderdome pictures, is anyone else distracted in the matches? Like, trying to see who these individual people are and to see if someone's doing something funny. Am I the only one looking at, like, you know, random people's screens, and are they making a face? Are they putting up a funny sign? Are they doing something maybe they shouldn't be doing? You know, I know the WWE probably has a pretty tight control, and there's probably some lag time between the live feed and what's actually on air to, you know, maybe block anybody that's going to do something ridiculous, right, or something super inappropriate. But that said, I'm very distracted by those feeds. And maybe that'll go away with time because this is something new and we haven't seen faces in an arena in quite some time. But I'm very, just very distracted by the faces. So anybody else, maybe it's just me. But anyway, what did you think about the pay-per-view, guys? I'm very curious. Hit me up on Instagram at WWE_podcast. You can also hit us up on voicemail. You guys know the number there. If you don't, email me. I'll give you the number. Or just message me on Instagram and I'll give you the number for the voicemail. I'm interested to hear what you guys think about the pay-per-view and what was a very, very strange pay-per-view to me. And hey, don't worry, we get to do this in a week. We get to do this all again in a week with the quickest turnaround time ever for a pay-per-view with a 1 week build. It's crazy. It's crazy, but we have another one coming next week. I could go through the tag team title matches, the hair versus hair that turned into a loser leaves WWE with Mandy Rose getting the victory with, I mean, it felt like somebody was controlling her from a PlayStation controller. She just consistently, it was like a 10-year-old kid clinging to the one move he can do in WWE 2K20 or whatever video game he has. Like, he's just consistently doing the same move over and over and over with that pump knee strike. How many times did she hit Sonya Deville in the face? And then Sonya Deville pops back up after. Like nothing happened. No selling. No selling. And just popped back out of the ring and stood up by the announcer's table and was just staring at Mandy. I'm like, are you going to sell like the 8 knee strikes she did to your face? All right. Well, I'm going to get on a rant about the selling, just lack of selling in general in pro wrestling. So I won't do that. But I will say that tomorrow we'll be back with a full recap, including the botch guy, who will have a very strong opinion, I'm sure. This will be the first time ever that we are collaborating on a review or of any kind. And then on Tuesday, Mary Grainer joins the show to review Raw and wrap up SummerSlam. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we have an interview with Chris Van Vliet, who is going to be joining the show to talk about his career, to talk about what's next for him, to talk about the current product of WWE. And I'm very excited to talk to him about that. But SummerSlam is come and gone, guys. I don't know about you, but this does not feel like a pay-per-view. I know that we're in the coronavirus era, but it didn't feel like a pay-per-view. I don't know why. At least it didn't feel like SummerSlam that I know. The other pay-per-views actually kind of felt like pay-per-views. You know, the 4 or 5 that we've had since the pandemic started. This one didn't. This one just didn't have the pay-per-view feel. And it's not a failure of a pay-per-view. I'm not saying that. It just didn't feel like a pay-per-view. It felt kind of like Raw, like a Raw or SmackDown, glorified Raw or SmackDown. And it sounds like I'm knocking it. I'm not. It's weird. I don't know how to really articulate my feeling towards SummerSlam, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking through my rear. I don't know, but maybe you guys feel the same. Let me know. Hit me up at Gmail, realwwepodcast@gmail. Again, on Instagram at WWE_podcast, and hit us up on the website. So that's my quick hits, trying to keep this under 20 minutes, and I'm just about out of time right now. So hope you guys enjoyed this. It was a very interesting pay-per-view, headlined, of course, which is going to be just exploding everywhere that Roman Reigns is back. And just took out Braun Strowman and took out Bray Wyatt. So, guys, thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon.